Good morning, everyone. Well, they really love acronyms there on Wall Street. I don't know if you were listening yesterday. Some of the financial channels were talking about the PIGS. Did you hear them?
No,
it's an acronym for Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain, and the worries about debt in
those
countries.
That's an unfortunate.
They're talking about the European pigs. No, no, no morality there on Wall Street. But anyway, it is a serious issue. Certain debt incurred by nations in Europe created a wave of uncertainty that caused sell-offs in Europe and in the United States. And now we're poised to learn the latest unemployment rate for the month of January here in the United States, and it could send the wave back across the Atlantic or even across the Pacific. To help explain this chain of events and to figure out if actually we're talking about a broader turnaround than just a blip is Dan Gross, columnist at Newsweek, joins us from Connecticut. Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
And Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, the New York Times, who usually joins us on Monday for the agenda. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
So, Marcus, first of all, explain this chain of events. And you know what I'm talking about, the pigs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is not a flattering term, and it is intentionally not a flattering term. Wall Street, you know, can be a bit of the drama queens sometime. And so they like words like pigs, terms like pigs. It's very illustrative. And in this case, it's about what we're calling the peripheral economies of Europe, of the Eurozone, currency. And these are countries that are heavily indebted. We in the U.S. know something about that because we're heavily indebted. But these countries don't have our protection, our shield of the dollar. And they are Europe's kind of laggards. And so while you have strong core economies in Europe, like France and Germany, you know, these guys are the cabooses dragging the thing down, is what you could say the pigs are doing. The problem is that they're heavily indebted. The problem is, you know, they were profligate spenders even before the recent financial crisis and the global downturn. Well, every country in the world has been spending a lot during the global downturn to keep their economies from cratering even more. You try to stimulate your economy. You spend billions of dollars doing that. That means these guys' debts have gotten even bigger. The concerns in the markets is that their debts are so big that their national debt, their sovereign debt, that this is the bonds of the government's risk, that they issue are actually too big a risk now, and so you slap them down. The credit default swaps, this is something you hear a lot. This has been a huge issue for us before in the markets. These are insurance on sovereign debt. So when a country issues a bond, that's the debt. It's the U.S. bonds are debt. The U.S. government will have to pay later. You have to also take out insurance on the fact that, you know, you have risk inherent in doing that. Well, these guys have huge, huge budget imbalances. That means that those bonds are riskier. That means the insurance that they're paying on every bit of debt they issued in a country like Greece, one of the pigs, has doubled in the last month. So that means that their costs are really galloping away.
And
the markets are betting against them, saying they can't keep doing it.
And it's a double-barreled jitter when you've got the insurance possibly being worthless and the bond that it's supposedly propping up
being
also worthless.
Exactly.
Now, Spain's aggregate sovereign debt is upwards of 12% of its gross domestic product. Dan Gross, our projected deficit would be around 11% if the Obama budget passes through at this rate. Is the fact that we are such a debtor nation keep us from being insulated from these kinds of waves, Dan Gross?
No, I think there's something else that keeps us from being insulated, and that is that we control our own monetary policy. In other words, our central bank can lower and raise interest rates. We control our own fiscal policy. We decide what to spend, and we control our own currency. We have the dollar. The big problem for the Greeks, and the old saying, beware of Greeks bearing rifts.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
You just took us off the air there, Dan. That's it.
In the olden days, if a country like Greece got into trouble, it would solve its problem by aggressively devaluing its currency.
Right.
And then inflating the debt away. Well, when you're on the euro, you can't single-handedly deflate that currency. So they're in the same currency and have the same monetary policy as Germany and France and Spain, all these economies that have kind of vastly different things going on right now. So in a previous time, the drachma would be crashing. We would all be making our plans to go to the Greek islands for August because things would suddenly seem cheap. But because Greece is on the euro,
right,
and because Spain is on the euro, they've lost the flexibility to deal with those sorts of issues.
And that's exactly why
this is a big kind of existential question for the European Monetary Union.
It's political instability, but it certainly makes the point that Marcus Mabry was making a moment ago, and that is that they do act like the cabooses, pulling the rest of the train right off the tracks because they're all on the euro. So Marcus Mabry, the Labor Department, is going to issue this unemployment number for January. Are people in Saudi Arabia and Singapore really, and Europe, tuning into this because they care about U.S. workers and will cry real tears if more of them are unemployed?
They're tuning in, but not because they care about American workers, although they do, because you need American workers to have jobs to buy Saudi oil, for instance. What we're seeing both and what we're seeing kind of the fear of contagion from a sovereign debt bomb. There's a debt bomb out there, just like we were all over-leveraged, we American consumers, well, countries were over-leveraged too. And this, what we're seeing is this global contagion, this fear that this debt bomb will start exploding all over the global markets, starting in Europe, starting with the pigs, but then even going to other countries that are in the core of Europe. And then we've seen the Asian markets this morning afraid of it. So it's kind of this fear sweeping the globe. Well, it's the same thing. The U.S. employment situation, how our economy recovers, how strong that recovery is, whether or not it creates jobs, is going to impact
right.
lots of other countries around the world. So based on what that number is today, we can expect markets to react to that further. If it's a less suspicious number than expected, then given already what the stress that markets are under because of the debt bomb fears from Europe, it's going to be ugly.
Right. Dan Gross, in the less than a minute that we have, is the debt bomb that Marcus describes something different than the recession or something we should watch to gauge where the recession is for ordinary Americans?
Well, these debt problems in Europe, I think, are a symptom of the fact that when you have very low growth, your tax revenues come in much less than expected, thus creating these debt issues. You know, for the U.S., it's a slightly different issue. Our economy is growing very rapidly. The GDP was at 5.7%. The jobs are not keeping up, in part because American companies have been insane about getting more productivity.
Right.
The productivity number came out this previous week. It was
about
6%.
Which
this
means
is three
doing
quarters in a row where the productivity level has been three times the historical norm.
Doing,
what that means
right.
is companies are working like crazy.
No, I got it. It means doing more with less, and it's a part of the economic pain that we're all feeling. Dan Gross and Marcus Mabry, thanks so much.